Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Our quote for the day, and I think perhaps quite appropriate, from President James Madison, George Bush, last night, reminding us of 9/11. He likes to talk about, this was the only time we were attacked on American soil. Actually, when James Madison was president, we were attacked on American soil, and they made their way all the way to the White House, where they burned it down. Well, not down, but they caught it on fire. And James Madison went off 2 days before that to actually command troops, the only president to ever command troops. And Madison, our quote for the day from James Madison, of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies, and from these proceed debts. And armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. No nation can survive, no democracy can survive in a state of continual warfare. President James Madison. Also, just to note, yesterday this incredible thing with this plane crash in New York City. It's almost like the universe is telling us something. Bush really kicked off his presidency with the plane crash of 9/11, and here we have a plane crash also in New York where everybody survives, and the name of the boat that first appeared to rescue people and rescued most of the survivors was the Thomas Jefferson. That was the name of the boat. So, it's almost like, you know, the universe saying, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. This is an omen. So, obviously nobody would want a plane crash, but I just thought that was an interesting irony. Anyhow, it's Friday, and of course, it being Friday, our first hour, Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, his website, sanders.senate.gov, our national town hall. Bernie will be taking your calls right after the first break at 866-303-2270. Our live chat room, by the way, tomhartman.com, our live free video stream at airamerica.com. Bernie Sanders, welcome, Senator.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Oh, it's great to have you, Bernie. This must have been an absolutely insane week for you in Washington, D.C., from hearings to legislation to an inauguration coming. Give us your what's been on your plate?
Well, Tom, what are the Chinese proverb that you may live in interesting times?
Yeah, it's sometimes it's called a Chinese curse.
Well, these are interesting times, I'll tell you that. And we have been almost going 24 hours a day here. There's so much going on. And as I've mentioned many times, one of the things that concerns me is the media does not do a particularly good job just informing the American people what goes on in Washington. So let me very briefly just try to touch on some of the issues that are out there and the role that I'm trying to play.
Great.
Yesterday we had the funding for the so-called TARP program. It won. It will allow President Obama to have another $350 billion to deal with a financial crisis. I voted against it. I voted against it because I didn't see the specificity that I wanted. I voted against it because we have yet to really begin to tackle the largest financial scandal in the history of this country, of a handful of people on Wall Street being unbelievably reckless, operating, I suspect, in illegal behavior, and bringing our economy to its knees, causing so much suffering in terms of increased unemployment, people losing their health insurance, people losing their savings. You got a handful of people who just did horrific things, and I haven't heard the outrage yet. And we're going to play an active role in holding these guys accountable. But I voted against that bill.
Now, Barney Frank says in the House he's going to try to insert those kinds of oversights and provisions and specifying that if Obama spends that money, at least $100 billion of it has to be to help bail out mortgages and things. Would that make
you
in
favor? Well, certainly, Well, certainly we want as much specificity as we can see. What Bonnie is trying to do is not going to have any impact on the TARP bill. That's been passed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But what he wants to do now, what he wants to do, and what many of us want to do, is to make sure that the remaining $350 billion goes to the people. In a sense, let's do a bailout for the working class and the middle class of this country and not Wall Street. On the other hand, what you saw last night, and virtually in the middle of the night, is the Bank of America now has come in for another $20 billion. Mm. And, you know, Obama is in a very difficult position. You do not want the banking system to collapse. That goes without saying. On the other hand, the outrage of bailing out these people who caused the problem is also totally unacceptable. And how you address that, and it's complicated stuff, it's difficult stuff, it's stuff that, you know, one is not going to solve in a two-minute discussion on the radio. But it is an issue that we're working on. Love to hear people's views on it. But it is a huge, huge issue. All right, that's one thing, the top thing. Now, yesterday in the House, David Obey, who is the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, released the stimulus package as passed by the House. It has to go through the Appropriations Committee. It has to go through the whole House. The Senate is moving on a parallel track. The Obama people have had a lot of input into this. And I have to say, this is, Tom, an extremely exciting document. And there's going to be a lot of debate, and there'll be changes in it. But I think the work that Obey and his committee have done is very significant. We are talking about a document that begins the process of rebuilding America, of creating millions of good-paying jobs, of addressing so many of the needs that Bush has ignored for 8 years. I mean, we're talking about money going into energy efficiency. We're talking about money going into sustainable energy. We're talking about money going in to rebuild our highways, our bridges, our rail system, our water systems. We're talking about substantial increases in funding for education, increases in Pell Grants, increases in help for Head Start and child care, money to make our schools 21st century schools where our kids have computers. We're talking about significant progress in health care. I've been working primarily on primary health care. And this, from what came out of Obey's committee, is very strong in training the doctors and the dentists and the nurses that we need to get out to underserved areas in rural America and urban area, in creating more community health centers and making them stronger. We're talking about extending unemployment benefits to help. An important part of this will be to help those people who have been hurt by this recession, who have lost their jobs, maintain their health care, maintain their health insurance, expanding food stamps, helping states, cities, and towns. It is going to be a lot of debate on this issue, but this is the beginning of what I hope will be a radical change in national priorities where we focus on the needs of the middle class and working families. So that's an issue that we'll be talking about in weeks to come, and I hope people pay attention to it. Very excited, but I think we're off to a good start. I have, because I'm on some of the significant committees here in the Senate, primarily Health, Education, Labor, the Veterans Committee, Energy Committee, Environmental Committee, we've been going through and interviewing, talking to Obama's nominees. Tom Daschle was before the committee last week, and I think Tom will play a good role. I'm not sure that I agree with him on every issue, but I think Tom understands that every American has a right of citizenship, should have health care. He has been very strong on the whole issue of prevention, understanding that we have our health care priorities backwards. We had huge sums of money into helping people who have very terrible illnesses, which is important, and yet we ignore the fact that some 50 million Americans today don't have a doctor, are not getting the primary health care that they need, that we're not addressing problems of obesity, of doing what we can to keep people healthy rather than just treating them when they're sick. And I think Tom is strong on that issue, and that's going to be very important. Yesterday, I think it was, two days ago, I was at a hearing with General Shinseki, who will become head of the Veterans Administration, a very impressive guy. You remember the role that he played in terms of the Iraq War.
Oh, yeah.
He was fired for that.
Yeah.
He was an amputee. He has a foot that's been amputated. I think he's going to be a very strong advocate for veterans, That's important to me. We met with Stephen Chu, who will be Secretary of Energy, a very, very bright guy, a Nobel Prize winner. We met with Ken Salazar, who will be Secretary of the Interior, very important role. Hilda Solis will be Secretary of Labor. I knew Hilda for many years in the House. She is, I think, one of Obama's strongest nominees. She is a true progressive, a real friend of working families. I think she's going to do a great job as Secretary of Labor. Arne Duncan is Obama's nominee for Secretary of Education. He's a close personal friend, I guess, a fellow basketball player with Obama. Hmm. I was impressed by him. I like him. And the issues there, the need to deal with the crisis in childcare, to make college affordable, just a whole plethora of issues that he's going to have to address.
That's great. Thank you for the overview, Senator Sanders. Senator Bernie Sanders with us. It's our Brunch with Bernie Hour. Bernie will be taking your calls right after the break at 866-303-2270. Be sure to check out his website and sign up for his newsletter over at sanders.senate.gov, by the way. It really is good stuff. 16 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. January is National Eye Care Month, a time when many of us use our new health insurance plans to get our eyes checked. Sadly, millions of people around the world don't have this luxury. This month, stop by Eyes on Broadway and donate your old glasses, which will be redistributed when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru this March to perform eye exams for those less fortunate. A great way to start out the new year. Donate your old glasses at 2300 Northeast Broadway or learn more at eyesonbroadway.com.
If you're a woman and you're sick and tired of watching your hair get thinner and thinner, we're about to challenge everything you think you know about hair loss, because we're going to send you a free trial of a product that separates fact from fiction. A product with an FDA-approved ingredient clinically proven to help stop women's hair loss and regrow hair. It's pure therapy, and it's yours to try risk-free when you call 1-800-600-5203. You're going to be amazed by what you see, because the main ingredient in pure therapy literally helps regrow hair and repair damage to give you thicker, fuller, more beautiful-looking hair, maybe for the first time in your life. And its sulfate-free formula is safe even for color-treated hair. Come on, ladies, because it's finally your turn to be free from embarrassing hair loss. Call 1-800-600-5203 and try it free before you buy it. But hurry for this radio-only offer. For your free trial, call 1-800-600-5203. 1-800-600-5203.
TurboTax presents a message from Benjamin Franklin.
As a $100 bill, I'm in high demand. People are always trying to get me away from you. But here's one way you can hold on to me and do your taxes. Just go to TurboTax.com. At TurboTax.com, you can do your simple federal return for free with the TurboTax Federal Free Edition. And I can stay right where you want me, in your pants. pocket, your pants pocket.
TurboTax. Choose easy. Get the federal free edition at TurboTax.com.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of beautiful Behr paint. Step 3, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of Behr paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 19th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm hoping and waiting for something to sing like the angels in heaven, the bums on the street. Hoping for love to find a new voice. The song that needs singing has already been sung before.
As we travel into this historic week, Tom Hartman here with you. We will be broadcasting, by the way, next week, live from Washington, D.C., Monday through Thursday. Monday through Wednesday, Radio Row. Thursday, we're still working out where we're going to be. We'll figure that out. And Tuesday, Ron Reagan and I will be anchoring the coverage. You will hear on our program on Tuesday the entirety of the inaugural, of the Obama inauguration, including his inaugural address. And then Ron Reagan and I'll probably come back on as I'm heading back to Radio Row from the inauguration, and then I'll be picking it up for the second and third hour, depending on the timing and security and everything else. But that's our plan for next week. Brunch with Bernie. Senator Bernie Sanders with us, taking your calls. Bernie, ready to take some phone calls?
Let's do it.
All righty. 866-303, our telephone number. And John in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. Hey, John, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Good morning, Senator. Good morning, Tom. You've already answered my question as far as no oversight for this bailout package. My question is, I don't see much difference between Obama and Bush when it comes to no oversight and giving the banks money. And I want to know, I don't need a $500 tax credit. Everybody I know and what I know, we need a job, not a dang tax credit. And I want to know, what are they going to do about that?
Okay, John, two points. I voted against the release of the new $350 billion under TARP. But I think under Obama, you will see that program, in effect, administered a lot better than under Bush, where there was virtually no oversight at all. But the key concern that I have is just the incredible amount of money that keeps going to these banks that caused the crisis, and how we hold them accountable, how we make sure that this never happens again. Those are my concerns. Now, in terms of the tax credit, well, I tell you, there's a lot of sentiment here in Congress sympathetic to what you are saying, John. Right now, there is hundreds of billions of dollars being provided for tax breaks. Obama campaigned on a tax break for the middle class, and I suspect he's going to keep that promise. But there are other tax breaks that he has talked about, that others have talked about, that I am not necessarily sympathetic to. I happen to agree with you. I think the goal is creating jobs, which is far more important than giving tax breaks to some businesses who really are not going to create jobs with their money. So I tend to agree with you.
Asia in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Bernie.
Hey, all right.
Hi. Hey, I'm a mother, and my kids recently started school, public school, out in St. Helens, Oregon. And he's 6 years old. They only get 15 minutes of recess a day. And I did some research about it, and this is a trend that's happening across America. And I see it in part because of No Child Left Behind and the standards. And I just wondered what you think about you kind of mentioned what you think about Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, but I'm hoping to see some more human-centered policies be put in place in education. Do you think that might happen?
Thank you.
I think
it
surely, Asia, you're exactly right. I was just at a hearing, and Tom Harkin was very, very good on these issues. The answer is yes, and I think Duncan understands that. And one of the concerns that we have in the need to make radical changes in No Child Left Behind is also making education more human. Also, by the way, things like physical education. One of the crises that we're facing in this country is that far too many of our young kids are obese. These kids are not exercising. They're not out playing. They're sitting in front of TVs or their computers. And I think we need to change that. So to answer Asia's question, yes, I think Duncan understands that. And I look forward to change to those the kinds of changes that you've talked about.
Joanne in Seattle, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yes, I was wondering, is there any sentiment in Congress to amend this bankruptcy law? Because it seems to me like they're bailing out banks and everything. In the meantime, they're jacking your interest up to 30%.
Oh, Joanne, we could talk about that one a whole lot. I think I voted against that bankruptcy law. I think that it was very punitive to working families. And the issue of credit cards and charging people 25-30%, especially the same companies that have been bailed out by the people are now paying 25 or 30% interest, seems to me to be a bit crazy. I think long-term what we need to do is have a usury law in America. We used to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, sorry, no financial institution can charge more than X amount. And certainly, like, 30% sounds to be about twice as high as it should be.
Bernie, we just have 20 seconds here before we got to take a break, so just kind of a quick follow-up question. Do you think that there will be, is there a strong movement to roll back the last bankruptcy bill changes?
There is. I think that there is. I mean, given all of the foreclosures and all of the debt that the American people are now experiencing and all of the problems associated with that debt, yeah, the answer is yes.
Yeah, because bankruptcy, it was the way that we said, if you want to be an entrepreneur and start a business, we'll catch you if you fall. And it seems like it was a good thing, to be able to offer that to people. Anyhow, Senator Bernie Sanders with us. Brunch with Bernie here on the Tom Hartman radio program. Senator Sanders will be back taking your calls after this break. His website, sanders.senate.gov. You can drop into our live chat room at tomhartman.com. See our free live video stream at airamerica.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders with us, taking your calls. Bernie, just a quickie, this from the chat room. One of the folks in there, Patco Pilot, says about the plane crash on the Hudson, let's not forget that these flight attendants and pilots are union folks, and the union participates in the training and oversees flight safety to a large extent, and they did really, really well, and another one of the benefits of unions.
No, they certainly did well, and thank God nobody was killed in that crash. And I think the general consensus is the pilot and the crew did a fantastic job.
Yep. Jeff in San Jose, California, listening on Green 960. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Senator. Hi, Tom. I just read Cracking the Code, great book.
Thank you.
Senator. Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. I said thank
you. Okay. Yeah, I heard that the bailout is going to come to $200,000 for every family in the United States. What would happen if you gave that $200,000 to every family? They'd probably bank part of it, buy cars, buy houses. What's your thought on that?
I think nobody knows what the bailout will end up totaling because we have no idea what kind of money yet is to be given out. We don't know how much money is going to be repaid. Not everything that's being lent out is going away, that's for sure. I mean, I voted against the original bailout. I voted against the bailout yesterday. But money is going to be repaid, and we just don't know how much. I think it's impossible to estimate. Again, what I want to say here is, and let's not forget it, this bailout is the result of the most egregious financial crime in the history of humanity. That's what it is. And what it ends up costing every American, I don't know. But it will be very dear, not only in terms of money for the bailout, but in terms of loss of jobs, loss of health care, loss of savings, loss of educational opportunity. This is a real, real tragedy. And what we have got to make sure, and I'm not seeing this now. I'm not seeing the outrage and the need to hold a relatively small number of Wall Street tycoons, these masters, so-called masters of the universe, accountable. And I'm not yet seeing the kind of reforms I think that we're going to need to make sure that this never happens again. And one of the issues here is the so-called too-big-to-fail doctrine, where you have these large financial institutions which, when they topple, they bring down a large segment of the economy with them. I think you got to stop breaking them up right now. And we're going to need some very bold the bottom line is we're in the midst of this crisis. We're going to need some very bold thinking to make sure that we repair this damage and it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. And by the way, this viral email that says $100,000 per family for the bailout, the actual number is in the neighborhood of 1,000 or something like that, as I recall. But point.
We don't know. Nobody, Tom, we don't know because we don't know what's coming down the pike. What was happened yesterday is Obama was given $350 billion. How much of that will be used? Nobody knows. How much of the first $350 billion will be repaid? Nobody knows. Furthermore, the Fed has lent out trillions and trillions of dollars. And there was a piece of the paper just the other day. Bonnie Frank made the point that we have to have far more oversight of the Fed than we have. They're giving out money. We don't even know who's getting it. We don't know what the terms are, but we do know that there are trillions of dollars involved there.
Right. But if we take, you know, $350 billion and divide it by 320 million families, it's a little over $1,000 a family.
All right, but that's going to be...
So it'd be $3,000 a family. But point made, and you're absolutely right. David in Federal Way, Washington. David, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I want to ask, in my line of work, I run into people when we talk about this, the subject matter. I run into people that think that no matter who comes into office, they're not going to do anything. It's going to be the same as usual. So I want to know realistically what you really think about we the people actually getting, you know, the say in what happens rather than big business.
Okay. David, you asked a very important question. As I've mentioned many times, I happen to be an independent because I think what we have right now is in the Republican Party is an extremely right-wing party. I think in the Democratic Party of a centrist party, which is heavily influenced by big money. Of the two, there's no question in my mind that the Democrats are far superior to the Republicans. And I think Obama will be day and night 100 times better than Bush was. I mentioned a moment ago this stimulus package that we hope will begin the process of rebuilding America and changing our national priorities. Let us be clear. Never in 1,000 years would George Bush introduce a document like that, putting millions of people to work, dealing in a very substantial way with energy efficiency, sustainable energy, breaking our dependence on foreign oil, dealing with global warming. Not in a million years would George Bush even be thinking about this. So is there a difference between Barack Obama and George Bush night and day? In terms of education, in terms of health care, there are fundamental differences. But having said that, the problem that Obama is going to have and that we have as a nation is that the a dynamic that the media does not talk about very often. They talk about, oh, we need nonpartisanship, bipartisanship. That's fine. But the dynamic here in Washington, D.C., is you have lobbyists representing multi-billion-dollar corporations marching up and down the corridors of D.C., representing the drug companies, representing the insurance companies, representing the coal companies, the oil companies, the military-industrial complex. And these guys and these corporations have enormous power. Will Obama be successful in passing progressive legislation against their opposition? Right now, one of the issues that will be coming up, not immediately, but within the next year, and of course this is something that George Bush was vehemently opposed to, is the Employee Free Choice Act. making it easier for workers to form unions and bargain collectively. There will be tens and tens of millions of dollars, if not more, being spent by corporate America to fight the right of workers to form unions. I just met with Obama. He was at a meeting the other day. And one of the points that I mentioned, and he is in agreement, is the most significant part of his brilliant campaign for the presidency was the grassroots organizations that he developed. He now has a list of some 10 million names of people who participated one way or another through campaign contributions or doing door-to-door work, et cetera, on his campaign. And I believe that he has the opportunity, and I believe he will do this, of mobilizing those people to help us pass progressive legislation. So to answer David's question, the challenges we face are enormous, and the obstacles to moving forward in a progressive direction are going to be very, very powerful. But to suggest that Barack Obama and George Bush have anything in common is wrong. Obama is far, far more progressive than Bush ever dreamed of being. And our job is to push Obama as hard as we can in a progressive direction to give him the support that he needs when he stands up to the big money interest.
And to push our members of Congress to support
absolutely.
In the same
absolutely,
yep.
Of course.
Mike in Kalamazoo, Michigan, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was calling to find out, it's about the financial bailout, just so that I don't blindside anybody. Why we can't invoke the Patriot Act and prosecute or investigate or recoup all this money for fiscal terrorism. Keep Gitmo open if we have to. And ship them off down there and make these detainees tell us where everything is. I mean, if it were you or me that went into the store and took $100, we'd be in jail. We're talking trillions here, and there isn't anybody in jail. Even Bernie Madoff is sitting at home.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I think you raise that's an interesting proposition to send some of these guys to Guantanamo. Is that I hadn't heard that before. It's an interesting.
That's great.
No, but Mike makes a very important point. The damage that these guys have done to millions and millions of people. You know, this, you know, in our kind of economy, as you know, Tom, things go up and things go down. It's kind of up booms and busts. But this really was a man-made. This was a man-made disaster, and Mike is right. There are small numbers of people who committed this crime. They have not yet been made accountable. And I think, Mike, as you may have heard earlier in the show, I mean, that's exactly the point that I made. We need to get to the root of it. We need to know exactly who it was and how it happened, and we have to hold these people accountable. Now, the problem is we're talking about trillions of dollars, and I think you can't squeeze them for trillions of dollars. Because no one has that money. But the idea that some of these guys, after doing what they did, go and retire and they're with several hundred million dollars in their mansions and their 18 homes around the world, yeah, I think that is an issue we have to deal with. So I think Mike is expressing the sentiment of millions of Americans.
At a certain level, Bernie, isn't it sort of like, because these guys have the ability to destroy their own institutions. It reminds me of the scene from one of my favorite movies, Blazing Saddles, where Cleavon Little becomes the first black sheriff in a white town. And when a few people are unhappy about that and they come after him, and he puts his own gun to his own head and says, "Back off or I'll shoot the black guy." You know?
Well, you know, that's, look, what you got, these guys can go on credit strikes.
Yeah.
I mean, they have so much power, they say, look, we're not happy. Wall Street is unhappy. Well, if they're unhappy, they're going to punish us.
Yeah.
And that's just exactly the issue we have got to deal with. We can't be held hostage by a handful of these zillionaire guys.
Yeah, very well said. Senator Bernie Sanders taking your call, sanders.senate.gov, tomhartman.com for our live chat room, airamerica.com for a free video stream. We'll be right back.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Provider and licensing details are available.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options?
File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983.
Ed Schultz.
We are the country of pink slips, no doubt. 467,000 more unemployed last week.
Noon to 3.
4.6 million drawing jobless claim benefits right now in America. It's like the Obama team is going to take over in 11 days, shouldering all these problems.
The Ed Schultz Show.
And the Republicans are trying to do a hell of a job of making all of us think that it's our fault.
Noon to 3.
They haven't changed a bit.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Online at 620KPOJ.com.
AutoZone. Are you overdue for an oil change? If so, don't put your car's engine at risk.
Get in the zone.
Now at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for just $16.99. That's right, $16.99. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Don't wait until it's too late. Maximize your engine's life and performance. Get to AutoZone. Do it yourself and save.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
I'm Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. I thought that Oregon got all its electricity from hydroelectric. Well, about 60% of our electricity is hydro, but the rest comes from dirty coal plants like those in nearby Boardman and Centralia. The Boardman plant, 150 miles east of Portland, generates 20% of PGE's power. It's the largest stationary source of greenhouse gases in Oregon, contributing to acid rain in the Gorge and on Mount Hood, and impacting us from Hell's Canyon to Mount Rainier. Please help me support the Bonneville Environmental Foundation in funding green power here and now with the Tom Dwyer Automotive Services Carbon Neutral Program. Use the link at tomdwyer.com, enter the promo code KPOJ, get a 50% discount, and join. Your car will be carbon neutral, you'll receive 10% off labor, and other offers that will save you over $350. If you're a current client or wanted to try us, then please check this out. I'm counting on you to help build the wind and solar power we need in Oregon today. I don't want to burn coal to power my house or my next car. Keeping our vehicles operating at their best. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, 230-2300. And please visit tomdwyer.com.
Here he is, folks. Just when you thought he had left us for a gig in Alaska, he's back. It's that gale force of Prado himself, Old Man Winter. And this year he's piling it on with hits like Chain Me Up or Loose Me Forever. And classics like I Hit the Brakes, But I'm Sliding for You. That is, unless you're driving one of those styling new symmetrical all-wheel drive Subarus from Car Subaru. They're climbing all over winter like some kind of mountain goat, baby. And right now, you can get into a 2009 fully loaded Outback 98 starting at just $17,995. That's right, just $17,995, Daddy, you at Car Subaru. So unless you enjoy hits like Slip Sliding Away, you got to get to Car Subaru Northwest with more Subarus than winter has snowflakes, mama. Car Subaru, off Highway 217 on Canyon Road in Beaverton, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Oh! Sale price includes $1,500 rebate and is based on 2009 Outback 98, stock number SO10139.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to your radio support group for We the People, the Tom Hartman radio program, our brunch with Bernie, our Senator Bernie Sanders. One of the most diligent and competent and brilliant advocates of We the People on the line with us.
Well, keep going, Tom. I don't want to slow you up here.
Taking your calls. I'm sorry, Bertie. I can't help it. You wouldn't believe the email I get about you. People, you've got such a fan club out there. Maybe you're getting this. You probably are getting the same ones. But people are so happy that there is a politician, A, who will actually take their calls on the air, and B, who speaks truth to power in the halls of Congress. And
well,
has been
Tom,
for years.
You know, I love the show, and the reason is there's so much that's going on inside the Beltway that I think people are not aware of, both bad and good. And I don't think, in general, the Congress does as good a job as it can to communicate and explain the issues to the American people and hear their questions and comments. So that's what the show is. I have a lot of fun, and I think you're doing a great job, and let's keep it going.
There you go. Okay, Bob in Durham, North Carolina, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi there, Senator Sanders, sorry, my dog's in the background here. I had an interesting perspective on immigration reform that I wanted to ask you a question about. I have a gay friend that moved here from Guatemala. He came here, learned English, worked very hard, but he really wants to be free to date and perhaps someday marry. And he's unable to do that in his country without the fear of being beaten or even killed. He's really, truly integrated well with our society, and he's not a criminal. I know that it's not the top priority for the Senate to take up in the next administration here, but while Capitol Hill does take a look at the new issue in the upcoming administration, what can you do and what will you do specifically to help reform our badly broken immigration system in this country?
Thank you, Bob.
Well, you know, that is, as you know, Bob, a very contentious issue. I think, very briefly, we have an estimated 11 or 12 million immigrants in this country here illegally. I think it is not going to be the case, nor should it be the case, that the United States of America is going to throw these people out. It ain't going to happen, and it shouldn't happen. Many of these people are here, they're working, they're in their communities, they're raising their kids. So there has to be a process toward citizenship for them. And there was legislation last year that I voted against, which had a process that I thought was reasonable. I voted against that bill, Bob, because there's another element in it, and that in the midst of the immigration debate, there is an effort on the part of corporate America to create guest worker programs, which essentially bring in cheap labor from abroad and lower the wages of American workers, and I'm adamantly against that. So I think if we can work out this guest worker program and make sure that people abroad are not brought in when they're not needed, when Americans should be doing that job, that's something that I can be supportive of. But bottom line is there will be a process, I think, by which people who are here will be able over a period of time to gain citizenship.
Bernie, to Bob's kind of sub-point, we do give preferential treatment in the immigration process to refugees, people who are fleeing, you know, political refugees, people who would be murdered in their own home countries. What are your thoughts on including gays in that category? I mean, there are some countries where if you're gay, you're executed.
That's something to consider.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Barbara in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Senator Sanders and Tom, I'd like to know whether we can do anything to prosecute this guy Paulson, because he's been crazy about the way he's been giving out this money. Or is there anything we can do?
Well, I don't know that you're going to prosecute him, but I would say this. You know, I think within the context that he comes from as Secretary of the Treasury, you know, he perceives that what he's doing is necessary. He perceives if he were on the show, he would tell Tom, hey, if I hadn't acted, you think the situation is bad now, it could have been a lot worse and blah, 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 blah. I think, on the other hand, what you have to understand, and this is how crazy the situation is and why people are really furious, Hank Paulson used to be the CEO of Goldman Sachs. And so you have the absurdity now of having the former head of Goldman Sachs providing funds not only for Goldman Sachs, but for almost every other major financial institution in America. Is there a bit of a conflict of interest in that? Yeah, I think there is. But, Barbara, the issue here is not just Paulson. The issue is, as I said several times this afternoon, This is the worst financial scandal in the history, not only of the United States, but of the world. And we have got to find out the causes of it. We have got to hold accountable those crooks who, through their reckless and irresponsible behavior, caused this crisis. And I am still not hearing, from the Congress the outrage and the need to have that kind of investigation and that type of accountability.
Yeah. Tony in Detroit, Michigan. We've got about a minute before the end of the show, Tony. You're on with Bernie.
I'm on with Bernie?
You are?
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a privilege. I never got a chance to talk with Senator Bernie Sanders or a senator at all. My point is, where is the money coming from with the stimulus package when we have a $10.2 trillion deficit? It really doesn't take rocket science or just a little logic to know if you have a debt, how can you create money out of debt?
Okay,
that's my
Tony,
point.
That's okay. Excellent.
Thanks,
question. We only have a few seconds left. Your point is a very well taken, but this, amazingly enough, let me give you an answer that will maybe surprise you. What almost all of the economists tell us, not all, but almost all, the most pressing problem we have now is to prevent a major depression. The most pressing problem we have now is to stop the increase in unemployment, to put people back to work, and that it is preferable to drive up the national debt as high as it is than to see us fall into a Great Depression from which it would take years and years and years for us to claw our way out of.
Right, and it would also crash tax receipts, which would make the deficit even worse.
Right.
Senator Bernie Sanders, sanders.senate.gov is website. Thank you, Bernie.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Great having you on. Ravi Batra up next.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman here with you. Viagra for your brain, our program, the most stimulating thing in talk radio. Does not produce stiffness in thinking, however. The economy is the topic. Well, the economy and how many people from the Bush administration are going to go to prison. That, I think, is going to be more of the topic in a week or two. But right now, certainly a lot of people very concerned about the economy as we head into what some are calling the second Republican Great Depression of within a century. And the Senate just, you know, voting to give another $350 billion, the Senate and the House, to Barack Obama, actually. He'll have it available to him the day he comes into office in the TARP funds. And his saying that he wants $700 billion for stimulus and all this kind of, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the economic world. So what better time than now to, of course, it's always a good time, to invite back our old friend and regular on our program, Dr. Ravi Batra, our economics guru, the professor of economics at Southern Methodist University, internationally New York Times best-selling author of Greenspan's Fraud, How Two Decades of His Policies Have Undermined the Global Economy, and The New Golden Age, his most recent book, The Coming Revolution Against Political Corruption and Economic Chaos, which was written just a year or two ago and predicted everything that has happened in the last year and a half, including the election of Barack Obama. Ravi Batra, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. How are you?
Just great. Oh, and I should mention your website for people who want to check it out. It's Ravi Batra, RaviBatra.com. Ravi, I'm great. I hope all is well with you in this new year, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on where the economy is going, you know, how things are moving since we last talked, and these various stimulus packages.
Well, I think in the last two shows that we did together, I said a few times repeatedly that the time period between November, December, and January will be very dangerous for our economy because, first of all, not only Bush is incompetent and corrupt, he won't even feel that he was in charge.
Right.
So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing 500,000 jobs being lost month after month. Yeah, it's 500,000. That's right. Month after month, and then the stock market is not going anywhere. Plus, they have wasted so much money on these bailouts that the budget deficit is already $1.2 trillion without providing any stimulus so far. This is the craziest part, you know. They have kind of handcuffed Obama from doing anything.
Right.
He's going to add another $800 billion to the deficit. That will be $2 trillion. I don't think that will work. It will raise interest rates, the world doesn't have that much money anymore to lend to Uncle Sam because the world itself has lost a lot of money in various investments.
Let me ask you a hypothetical, but a rather scary one. Apparently, the German government is running a deficit. In fact, they 2 weeks ago announced a $50 billion bailout of their economy or a stimulus package. Now it's up to $100 billion, according to the Financial Times a couple days ago. And they had a bond auction, I believe it was last week, where they were actually unable to find buyers for their bonds. In other words, they had a failed bond auction, which they just pulled it at the last minute and didn't allow it to turn into a full-blown disaster or allow interest rates to spike. But we would not have that luxury, given the amounts of money that we're dealing with and the urgency of maintaining our debt, particularly since the dollar is the reserve currency of the world for all practical purposes. The Chinese are talking about moving out of dollars. I have seen a number of columns, and in fact on Bloomberg a couple of days ago, Bloomberg News, I watched their Hong Kong feed in the evening before I go to sleep, and they had on an economist from Hong Kong who was talking about the very real possibility that in the next 12 months there could be a U.S. bond auction that fails, and if so, there would be a sudden spike, there would be a necessary spike in interest rates associated with U.S. bonds in order to sell them, in order to give people a return, that could then lead to a crash of the dollar. That could be a real disaster. You could see the stock market drop to a third of what it is right now and even see the prices of commodities like gold and oil drop in half. Is that a scenario that makes any sense to you?
Oh, it certainly does. It certainly does. In fact, it was in 1999. I wrote another book a long time ago. At that time, interest rates were fairly high, but China's trade surplus was rising. So I just figured that China had a lot of money to invest in the U.S. Government bonds, and so interest rates will sharply fall. That's what I predicted at that time.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
That's what happened. And people were asking me, what has China's trade surplus to do anything with our interest rates? And I said, well, China wants to keep our dollar high, so they will just buy our bonds because they want to export as much as they want. But now you see China's trade surplus is also falling, which means they will not even have that much money, that much uncommitted money. So they have to have uncommitted money. It doesn't matter how many trillions they already have. If those billions and trillions are already committed, that's not going to help us. They have to have new uncommitted money to be able to lend to us or buy our bonds, and their trade surplus is falling, so I don't think they can even buy that much that many bonds, even if they want to. So
right, and they have to use a certain percentage of their surplus money to buy fuel because they're not oil independent.
Not only that, they also want to stimulate their own economy, so
right.
They are going to spend that money, whatever surplus they have. In terms of dollars or in terms of their own budget, they are going to spend it themselves. So I don't think they have that many dollars. I'm talking about uncommitted dollars. That's important. See, not just it's okay if they have trillions. That doesn't matter. They have to have new money to be able to buy new U.S. government bonds, and they won't have that many. So I have a feeling that these interest rates are going to rise, and that's why I am not very hopeful about the success of Obama's program.
Now, I've heard two different takes on what happens if interest rates go up, because there's just not enough free money in the world to continue to fund the U.S. debt. One is that that this could cause the dollar to crash, and if that happens, commodities explode. The price of gold, you know, could hit $2,000-$3,000 an ounce. Oil would hit $100-$200 a barrel. The other is that the dollar doesn't crash, but interest rates go up, and the worldwide depression essentially creates such a deflation that commodity prices crash along with everything else, and gold goes down to $300 an ounce, and oil goes down to $15 a barrel. In fact, these were the two dueling economists that in Hong Kong that I saw in Bloomberg a couple nights ago. Your thoughts on those scenarios?
Well, it's likely that the dollar is likely to fall sharply. I don't think it'll crash because the fate of other countries is tied to the value of the dollar.
Right. They can't let us go the way Iceland went.
They will not really let it crash, because if it crashes, then their exports, they go into depression, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't think the dollar will crash, but it will fall sharply. Like, for instance, with respect to the yen.
Yeah.
You could say that it has fallen very sharply, the U.S. dollar, with respect to the yen, but I wouldn't call it a crash.
Yeah, we're already seeing that, in other words.
And the
economists in Hong Kong are all speculating that the Chinese will thus devalue the yuan, their currency, so that they can continue to be a cheap exporter in order to maintain their trade surplus.
Exactly. That's why I don't think the dollar will really crash, but it will fall in value sharply. Whereas as far as gold is concerned, my hunch is that, and my analysis is that, it will stay high until about for another 2 years or so, and then it could crash.
Oh,
but in the long run, if the things continue the way they are, as I mean, by that I mean if they keep following their policies that they are saying they will follow,
gold will be the flight to security default.
Well, all this total excessive debt creation, I mean, this was a problem that has plagued us for the past 30 years. They're trying to paper over the fundamental problems. They're trying to suppress those. They're trying to fix them by creating debt. And that's what has brought us to the brink, and they're going to do the same thing. I don't think it will help. So they have to do something else to fix the economy.
We'll get back with we have Ravi Batra with us for the hour. He'll be taking your calls after the bottom of the hour. We'll get back to what the fundamental problem is, an Econ 101 refresher right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
These are extraordinary times, but one thing remains clear. When you're searching for inspiration, reach for the stars. I'm Rocky Mosel with International Star Registry. When you're looking for that perfect gift, give a loved one something to reach for. Name a star after them. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can inspire someone you love by naming a star after them. Call 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com and give the gift of a star.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
We cannot let the American porn industry go down.
Randy Rhodes.
So why is the porn industry asking for a bailout? I know that I've given the porn industry at least $5 billion myself. So there's no need for the bailout, Larry.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
If you cannot make money by producing pornography in this country,
3 to 6,
you are pretty much freaking hopeless.
On AM 620 KPOJ
and 620KPOJ.com.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate?
Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, dial 1-800-291-5421. That's 1-800-291-5421. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Dial 1-800-291-5421. That's 1-800-291-5421.
What if we told you we'd created the perfect card for your business? A card that can give you the working capital you need, interest-free. A card that can earn you rewards to reinvest in your business. A card that's not a credit card. Well, meet the American Express Open Charge Card. To get the purchasing power millions of owners already have in their wallets, call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. American Express Open. Calling all business owners. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of beautiful Behr paint. Step 3, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1-gallon cans and $20 off all 5-gallon buckets of Behr paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 19th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Who do you pink for? I pink for my mom, my friend Linda, and my cousin Rhonda. One in three women are diagnosed with cancer, so we all pink for someone. Now you can pink with us and support life-saving research at City of Hope. Find out more at whodoyoupinkfor.com.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Save us from the lies. Save our homes from foreclosing. Stop treating us as spies. Save our jobs from leaving. Bring back made in USA. Represent the ones who made you, not the ones who paved your way.
21 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters. Proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act, Teamster.org, their website. Just a quick recap of things coming up. Next week, Monday through Thursday, I'll be doing the show live from Washington, D.C. On Tuesday, Inaugural Day, Ron Reagan will be mostly anchoring, I believe, the first hour of our program. I'll be at the inauguration. I'll be on the phone after Obama's speech. We will be carrying, the network will be carrying Barack Obama's inauguration and his entire speech in its entirety live. Without commercial breaks. Some different affiliates may handle it in different ways, but that's how we're feeding it. And then for the second and third hour, I'll get to Radio Row, and Ron Reagan and I will be discussing, you know, what's going on with all this stuff. On Monday night of next week, if you're going to Washington, D.C., Progressive Democrats of America, I'm on their advisory board. They're having an MLK Day pre-inaugural tribute. That's Monday night at 10 p.m. at Bus Boys and Poets in Langston Hughes Room. And this is with me, with Medea Benjamin, Jody Evans, John Nichols, Donna Smith, Jim McGovern, Congressman Jim McGovern, Tom Hayden, some great people. You can find out about that at pdamerica.org, Progressive Democrats of America, pdamerica.org. February 26th and the 27th, I'll be doing a Radio Row at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington, D.C., and you can find out about that at cpac.org. March 7th, you know, the one-day cruise with Tom and Talk 1090 in Seattle, and that information is at am1090seattle.com. March 19th, Thursday, I'll be in Chicago, Illinois, debating Michael Medved, a gig sponsored by WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk. And on May 1st and 2nd, Friday and Saturday in Denver, Colorado, I am keynoting the Green Festival. in Denver, Colorado. So a lot coming up. Dr. Ravi Batra with us here for this hour. He will be taking your calls after the bottom of the hour. Thoughts on micro or macroeconomics. Keep in mind, he's not an investment counselor or advisor. We're talking about the bigger picture here. And Ravi, let's just recap the problem. You know, this whole issue of how economies work and why is it that there's all this confusion about supply and demand, and in the minds of so many people after 30 years of Reaganomics and preaching by Cato and Heritage and all these other right wing think tanks, getting people all their brains all scrambled, And what kind of, you know, how you put an economy back together versus, what we've done so far?
Well, they never talk about supply and demand. That's the trouble. They yeah. always talk about everything else except supply and demand. You know, you watch any of these big shows, they'll say, okay, cut taxes, corporate taxes, and they'll create jobs. Why? Why would they create jobs? I mean, companies will hire more people only if they are selling more. Just because you can't cut the corporate taxes, why would they start selling more? So this is the problem. They confuse the people by not focusing on the fundamentals. The fundamentals, as you just said, are supply and demand. But what is behind this supply and demand? The main source of supply is productivity. The main source of demand are people's wages. So for the past 30 years or so, productivity has been rising very fast thanks to the computer revolution, to the internet and so on, but wages have been stagnant. So the result is supply was going faster, rising faster than demand. So then the Greenspan and company and the Republican governments and even Clinton governments, to some extent Clinton also, they came up with a very neat artifact. It's an artifact because artificial strategy. They started to create more and more debt through excessive government spending and by bringing interest rates down so that people will be lured into more debt.
So this debt basically has replaced wages as the thing that drives demand and thus drives and creates and stimulates the economy.
That's right.
Over the past decade.
That's right. They replace wages by the debt creation, and they said, well, this is great. And for a while, this was great because this kind of economy raises profits very sharply because the fruit of rising productivity goes entirely into the pockets of the CEO. Yeah. And the CEO finances the campaigns of politicians, so they had a great party. And the result, there were also lots of stock market bubbles as a result. So everything was great for them. And the people, the world was fooled into thinking, well, Greenspan and company have created a great economy of the kind that has never been seen before.
Right, and it was all smoke and mirrors based on debt over the last 30 years.
Exactly.
We have about 30 seconds.
Magic roll of the debt.
We have about 30 seconds before the break, Ravi. We're talking with Ravi Batra, RAVIBATRA.com, his website. In summary, the solution really is increase wages right across the board, right?
That's right. That will be the solution, fundamental solution. I mean, instead of spending money on bailing out banks and bailing out Wall Street, it's better to spend money to raise wages, or to follow policies that will raise wages, or to spend money to raise wages.
Right.
Because then people will be. Also, there's another reason why. If you give them tax cuts, they may or may not spend that money because, you know, people think that tax cuts with such huge deficits are temporary.
Yeah, it's just a short fix. It's a fast high, but it produces
right.
no lasting benefit. Ravi Batra is with us. He'll be taking your calls 866-303-2270 right after the break. His website ravibatra.com. Check out his books.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Congress on the minimum wage and see how long they can last. Let them try
to rely on the minimum wage and see them change it, rearrange it, wow, real fast. And when they say that the pay makes it tough to survive, we're telling them, hey, it keeps you alive. When they cry that they try, but they can't get ahead, we'll send a social worker to pat them on the head. They'd be poor, but I'm sure it would be all the rage if we put Congress on the minimum wage.
35 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you on the True People's Radio. We're talking with Ravi Batra, the award-winning international New York Times best-selling author of numerous books, including my two favorites, Greenspan's Fraud, How Two Decades of His Policies Have Undermined the Global Economy, and Ravi's most recent book, which is an absolute must-read, The New Golden Age, The Coming Revolution Against Political Corruption and Economic Chaos. His website, Ravi Batra, RaviBatra.com. He's also an economics professor, professor of economics at Southern Methodist University at SMU. And Ravi, the bumper music, you know, tongue-in-cheek, let's put Congress on the minimum wage, that's really the exact opposite of what needs to be done. We need to have the tide rising with regard to wages. You mentioned that just before we went into the break. I wanted you to just expand on that a little bit, exactly how we do that, and then we got a whole bunch of people who want to ask you questions.
And you know, that's right. They have, wages have to rise because productivity has been rising for so many years that there's a lot of room for wages to catch up with high productivity. So wages can easily rise, even in the current atmosphere where, because profits are still very, very high. So wages can still rise. And yet, you what you see from the Bush administration, they put so many conditions on General Motors that they have to lay off people and cut wages to become competitive and so on. That is just the wrong medicine. Now, the Obama administration is doing the same thing. They are saying GM has only 3 months to right its wrongs. Mm. Well, if you cut wages, demand will fall even more, and more people will be laid off. So that's not the right way to do. But also, something else has to be done at the same time, and that is to cut our trade deficit sharply, because that is connected to the low wages in the United States.
Yeah. And what's your...
And for that, you know, we just fix our dollar to the Chinese currency, Japanese currency, and other countries that have huge trade surpluses with us. We fix the value of the dollar at a low rate with their currencies. That's all we need to do.
Can we... I thought that our currency was floating. I didn't realize that we could...
Well, we have to then change that regime. We instead of let it float, we have to make it fixed the way Chinese and the Japanese have done.
Would that cause the rest of the world to no longer use the dollar as a reserve currency? Would that cause them to no longer denominate, for example, gold and oil, particularly oil, in dollars?
Well, as I said earlier, the rest of the world cannot really let the dollar fall too much because we are still the biggest market for them.
Right.
So it is true that they would run away from the dollar, but okay, even if gold goes up, fine. The United States will then be able to export so much that it will be able to buy oil on its own.
Right. And just to put this in context, the U.S. economy is around a $14-15 trillion a year annual economy. The China just became the third largest economy behind Japan with a little over $3 trillion. Japan is on the high end of $3 trillion. Germany's on the low end of $3 trillion. So
And you can add Japan, China, and Germany all three together, and still the U.S. is the largest economy.
That's right. That's right. So that's actually the good news, I suppose. Gus in Key Largo, Florida, you're on the air with Ravi Batra.
Hi, Ravi. I'm just calling to find the way the economy is going and the wages are going. What is foreseeable for, you know, the youth coming up today? My niece, her husband, my grandnephew, and my little 2-year-old niece.
Well, I didn't understand the question. I'm sorry. Hello?
Gus's question was everything that you see on the horizon, he's got children, grandchildren, grandnieces. You know, what kind of world are they going to inherit? What's the future of the American economy?
The future is very, very bright. See, I don't just look at the analysis of the economy. I also look at historical cycles. In terms of cycles of history, a very bright day is coming up. because people are going to be so fed up with the status quo. They are going to demand big changes. At every election time, there will be changes in the coming future. I think George Bush, no matter how bad he has been, he has done us all a great service because he woke us all up to the excesses of monopoly capitalism. Otherwise, this would have been hidden for a long time, for way into the future, and low-wage economy would become permanent otherwise. So I think, yes, we have a chaos right now, but just within 2 to 3 years, because there will be another election in 2010, there will be big changes occurring that year. So the end result will be very, very good. I'm very optimistic for the future.
We just have to hold our breath here for a short while, for a
year. Yeah, in
the
short term, we have to prepare ourselves and also be active politically. I mean, let's not be complacent and suffer in silence.
Yeah, and that's Bernie Sanders, our last hour. That's my song. You know, get out there, get active, tag. It's you, you know. So, Catherine in Monterey, California, you're on the air with Dr. Ravi Batra.
Good morning, Dr. Batra. I have a question for you about the meeting that was held in Washington, D.C. on September 14th last year of the G20. And in their resolutions that they formulated at that meeting, they said that they wanted to reform the Bretton Woods system, which was originally that the world was on the gold standard, and that now, since 1973, the dollar has been allowed to be not backed by anything. So what do you see as the likelihood of a change in that arena? Are we going to be required now to, the G20, will they come up with a new standard? Is everybody going to be required to have a value behind the currency, like the dollar should be backed by some value?
I think they will have to do that.
Thank you.
Right now, the current system is very friendly to the CEO. Anytime there is a problem, they print more money, bring interest rates down, create more debt, and goods get sold while wages remain low, and the CEO benefits. When there is an actual collapse of the system, they will have to go back to the gold standard, but I think most likely it will be a partial gold standard. Like we won't have to have $1 backed up by every dollar of gold, but maybe 25 to 40% of gold would be needed to back up the money in circulation. This will give us flexibility also to meet emergencies, but it won't be like what we have today. Anytime there's a problem, print more money and let the CEO prosper. It won't be like that. So we will have a partial gold standard in the future.
Yeah. Interesting. Lewis in Portland, Oregon, listening on KPOJ. Lewis, you're on the air with Dr. Ravi Batra.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll pass along a couple nuggets of good news, and then we'll ask a tough question. The first nugget of good news is all the money that isn't flowing into the market and all the money that isn't flowing into real estate and all those same things is interestingly being parked in short-term treasuries. Also, a vast majority, and I don't know if Robbie's ever seen the maturity schedule on the Chinese holdings, but probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 billion a year comes due, spread out over the year. So the Chinese may not be buying new bonds, but they're still here keeping their dropped value investment reinvested in the United States in dollars. And the question I have is, so if not the dollar, what security? Because there's no other security that's backed by a stable political and economic system that's one-third of the government, one-third of the economic production of the United States and the whole world. Where would you go? You can't go to rubles, you can't go to the yuan, you can't go to the yen, because those economies aren't big enough, they don't have enough dollars. So if you leave the dollar, you create mini bubbles and you destroy yourself. So,
but isn't the euro, the European Union's combined GDP is close to that of the United States, isn't it, Lewis?
That's right.
But the euro is a voluntarily, artificially created security. There is no full faith and credit of the taxpayers of any one of those countries behind the euro. And any of those countries can voluntarily opt out and not have the euro.
Yeah, you're right. And, in fact, there's discussion among several of them of doing just that. Ravi, your thoughts on all this? Thank you,
Lewis. That's why I said the dollar will not collapse, will not crash, but its value will still go down because our debt with respect to the rest of the world is so much more than any other country's or any other zone's debt. We have a tremendous amount of debt. Plus, I think the gold will rise for a while. Mm-hmm. So people may not go to currency, they will turn to gold. And they have always have in the past.
Right. So, excuse me. So as the dollar decreases in value, you'll see commodities go up.
Not all commodities, only gold and silver, precious commodities.
But the industrial commodities, not because of the because of the depression, as it were, because there's not a demand for them.
Because people are afraid of currencies. There is so much inflation of currencies, not inflation of prices, but inflation of currencies,
right,
that they will turn to gold. Now, oil, maybe there is a different, there may be a different play at oil. Because, again, here I'm relying on the cycles again. Mm-hmm. Oil could rise next year, or this year, I mean, yeah, because of the Middle East tensions. And that also will contribute to the rise in gold.
Interesting. Dr. Ravi Batra with us. RaviBatra.com is his website. He's the author of two of my favorite books. If you want to know anything about economics, if you want to be economically literate, get The New Golden Age and Greenspan's Fraud by Dr. Ravi Batra. RaviBatra.com. We'll be right back with your calls for Dr. Batra.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hey, what if I told you that ultimately a large majority of American men will face prostate health-related issues? Would that make you think twice about how you can avoid becoming part of that statistic? This is a hint, guys. If you're not thinking about these kind of things, you should be. Every single man will have prostate problems if they live long enough. When you have an unhealthy prostate, you're making frequent nightly bathroom trips, you have difficulty going, and even sexual dysfunction. This is your body's way of telling you something's not right. You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to provide you with all natural prostate support. I reached out to the manufacturer, and they'll be extending a special offer. Buy two bottles of Beta Prostate and get one free. You'll also get a free book written by the formulator of Beta Prostate, Roger Mason. And best of all, it's risk-free, so your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. 1-800-954-0803. That's Beta Prostate, available at 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Here he is, folks. Just when you thought he had left us for a gig in Alaska, he's back. It's that gale force soprano himself, Old Man Winter. And this year he's piloted on with hits like Chain Me Up or Loose Me Forever. And classics like I Hit the Brakes, But I'm Sliding for You. That is, unless you're driving one of those styling new symmetrical all-wheel drive Subarus from Car Subaru. They're climbing all over winter like some kind of mountain goat, baby. And right now, you can get into a 2009 fully loaded Outback 90A starting at just $17,995. That's right, just $17,995. That of you at Car Subaru. So unless you enjoy hits like Slip Sliding Away, you gotta get to Car Subaru Northwest with more Subarus than winter has snowflakes, mama. Car Subaru, off Highway 217 on Canyon Road in Beaverton, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Oh! Sale price includes $1,500 rebate and is based on 2009 Outback 90A, stock number SO10139.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. One of the perks for KPOJ listeners is getting exclusive deals from our loyal advertisers. Here's one you can't afford to pass up. During January, Floor Trends Northwest is offering free basic installation on any carpet purchase over 50 yards. That's a savings of hundreds of dollars. They're also offering up to 50% off all overstock carpet and hardwood. Now is the time to take advantage of these huge discounts only for KPOJ listeners, only at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood.
Just hang on a little longer. Your investments will come back.
Sound familiar? Or worse, your advisor hasn't even called. I'm Bill Meyer, president of Strategic Group, a Portland investment advisor firm. If you want an advisor that provides more than just a buy and hope approach to investing and have $500,000 of investable assets, for a free consultation, call now, 503-222-9737.
Real people, real results, Strategic Group.
Hello, I'm John Hodgman, author of The Areas of My Expertise. Today I'm here to tell you about the unknown history of Powell's Books. The store was born during the written word revolution of 1895, fought beneath what is now the Willamette River. The bloody grammatical fuss claimed more than 250,000 lives, many of them fish. Then came the 1927 book massacre, when thousands of pulp novels suffered irrevocable dog ears and egregious coffee stains. But I see I'm out of time. Support Powell's, an independent bookseller with a long, colorful history. And buy my book, The Areas of My Expertise. That is all.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yeah, I can. Here, Tom Hartman here with you, helping you win the water cooler wars. With Dr. Ravi Batra sharing his wit and wisdom with us, the New York Times and internationally best-selling author, our economics guru, professor of economics at SMU, author of Greenspan's Fraud, and his newest book, The New Golden Age, The Coming Revolution Against Political Corruption and Economic Chaos. His website, Ravi Batra, R-A-V-I-B-A-T-R-A. .com. Strongly recommend you check it out. And, Ravi, back to questions? Back to calls?
Yeah.
Okay. Connie in Berryville, Arkansas. You're on with Dr. Ravi Batra.
Hi. I have read Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And
by John
about
Perkins.
How, pardon me?
By John Perkins.
Yes. And I was very ignorant about how this country became so powerful in buying up other countries' debt. And I'm wondering how, because China has bought up our debt, could they call it in at any time and just destroy our country?
No, they can't. They can't do that. Because it's we have a lot of dollars. What can we do with our dollars to the U.S. government? Nothing. The Chinese have a lot of dollars and a lot of government bonds. They can start selling those bonds, but the Fed can buy them with its own currency. So they really can't destroy. They really can't do anything to our economy.
So the big problem is not China basically dropping a neutron bomb on us by dumping $1 trillion worth of paper, but rather that they, because of the economic crisis, they may not be able to participate in the Treasury auctions the way that they have in the past, which will drive up interest rates.
And if they dump their bonds on the market, first of all, they'll be shooting themselves in the foot. And secondly, the Fed can buy those bonds from them and give them more dollars. What will they do with them?
Right, right. Bill, and they could buy more bonds. Bill,
and
actually, they could buy oil with them, which is what they've been doing. But there's a limit to that too. Yeah. Bill in Kelso, Washington, you're on with Dr. Ravi Batra.
Thank you, Tom. What an outstanding program, and you got a great screener.
Thank you.
Would like to ask what the average person would be able to do to protect themselves, and will the CEOs? It seemed like the Dr. Batra said the CEOs will not be able to control the financial system as they've been. Please.
That's right. That's the new golden age. That's why I'm so optimistic. The rule of money, according to my historical cycles, the historical cycles that I've studied, and these cycles helped me in the past to forecast the demise of Soviet communism, the rise of a priesthood in Iran, and so on. Using those same cycles, I can now foresee that the rule of money will be gone in the United States, and then we will have a great economy, a great society at that time. All that will happen in the next six, 7 years.
Yeah, okay, great. Reggie in Daly City, California. You're on the air listening on Green 60. You're on the air with Dr. Ravi Batra.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Hi, Dr. Batra. I just have a fundamental question. I was shopping in the local mall, and I just had the idea. I said, well, what would happen if I found something to buy that was made in America? And if everybody did, you know. And I thought, well, I don't even know if that's a plausible statement, because I wore the soles out on my feet trying to find something made in America. So is that even believable? Can we, you know, if everybody just said tomorrow, well, hey, let's just buy made in America, would that help the economy?
Well, see,
thank you, Reggie.
In theory, yes. In theory, it will help the economy greatly. But there is a vicious circle. The vicious circle is this. Because of our huge trade deficit, we are not making much in America. And because of our huge trade deficit, our wages are very low. So people have to look for cheap goods from other countries. Now, if suppose this wage trade deficit was eliminated or cut sharply, our wages will rise. They will rise faster than our own prices, because we will be building things in the United States. There will be more production here. So our wages will rise faster than prices. So even if things will not be as cheap as before, the living standard will rise sharply. The purchasing power of our wages will go up, and that's what matters in the end.
I wonder what your thoughts are on Alexander Hamilton's 1791 report on manufacturers, on his prescription for how to build an industrial economy, which we basically followed for 200 years up until around the 1980s.
That's right. We followed that, and look what happened. The United States became the world's largest manufacturer and the most and the most affluent economy. But once we forgot that, once we changed that around and we listened to all these supply-siders, they call it supply-side economics, it's actually a supply-side conspiracy. It was simply a conspiracy to maximize CEO incomes and minimize wages. Now people are beginning to learn once they have seen what it is doing right now, and supply-side economics will be discarded. It will not even be called economics anymore. Mm. It's such a trashy idea.
Yeah. David in Columbus, Ohio, we have just a minute before the show wraps up, David, or the hour does.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to ask, you frequently mentioned that Israel is a vital partner of ours in their strategic interest.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what, from your perspective, that strategic interest is.
Okay, David, we're talking about economics right now. I'm sorry. Mike in Seattle. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Tom, thanks for the show. I had a quick question regarding the whole debate about the dollar crashing. There have been so many people calling for the crash of the dollar, but because of what you and Mr. Batra said this morning, I'm wondering if other countries' currencies aren't going to come down or devalue along with the dollar because of what they're doing, such as...
Robbie, your thoughts on that? I'm sorry, Mike, we just have like 10 seconds. Your thoughts, Robbie?
They all cannot devalue. Each currency's value is relative to the currency of the other, so they all cannot devalue. If the dollar, the dollar can either go up or down relative to other currencies, so they all cannot devalue. Most likely what will happen, the dollar will fall relative to other currencies, even if all economies are weak.
Uh-huh. Okay. Makes perfect sense. Dr. Ravi Batra, ravibatra.com, the website. Check out his books, Greenspan's Fraud and the New Golden Age, his two most recent, although he's written a whole bunch of them. They're all out there, many of them still in print and available. Ravi, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Great talking with you. Coming up next, Anything Goes Friday. Any topic you want, give us a show.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to Anything Goes Friday. Tom Hartman here with you. George W. Bush last night giving his swan song. Louise and I Nigel Peacock, our friend, longtime, many, many decades friend from the UK, who's visiting for a couple of days as he travels around the world, decided instead of watching it live, we'd go out and have dinner We were sitting in the restaurant, and I said, I'm surprised the restaurant's so full. You know, I thought all these people would be home watching the president. And I got a couple of scowls from people around me. But anyway, we went back and we watched the DVR'd version of it with Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews. And I thought Chris Matthews' analysis in the first segment of Keith Olbermann's show after Bush was done speaking was absolutely brilliant. His insights into it was just very, very well said. A couple of guys who really know politics. And this, it is, for example, Matthews said, he keeps trying to sell this thing, and it ain't selling. And this, for example, a piece of it.
America has gone more than 7 years without another terrorist attack on our soil.
Okay, so, George Bush is, he loves to talk about how, in fact, on occasions, he said, this is the first attack on the continental United States, forgetting the War of 1812, forgetting that in 1812, the Canadians and the British not only attacked us on our soil, they marched into Washington, D.C. James Madison left the White House 3 days before they arrived in order to command troops. He was president of the United States, the only president to ever command troops in wartime. His wife, Dolly, stayed there until the day before and took off incredibly bravely with many important papers and a painting of George Washington, some of it stashed in her clothing. And James Madison, our quote of the day, of all the enemies of public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded. And he goes on in that quote, by the way, to talk about how it increases the powers of the presidency, and that's one of the dangers of it. But every time George W. Bush or any of these Republicans invoke the fact that we have not been attacked for 7 years, I believe that they should be required, or at least we should all start as a regular mantra and start notifying our news agencies. Okay, we haven't been attacked for 7 years, but what about, so you want to give Bush credit for that? In that case, he has to take credit for the fact that we were attacked in the first place. He had over 56 specific warnings before 9/11 that 9/11 was going to happen. Israel warned him. Russia warned him. The French warned him. The British warned him. His own Central Intelligence Agency warned him. They flew a guy down to his ranch in Crawford where he was on vacation. And Condi Rice showed up and the two of them delivered a memo to him that said Bin Laden determined to attack on U.S. soil. And he said, he said to the guy from the CIA, okay, you've covered your ass. Go on back to Washington, D.C. And did nothing. He was on vacation. He was too busy with his vacation to do anything about it. Now, when Bill Clinton was told in late 1999 that there was an imminent attack on the United States, he pulled everybody together in the Situation Room. They dropped everything. They got Richard Clark on the line. They got the CIA and the FBI, and they nailed that guy as he was coming in through Canada, in through Vancouver, Canada, who was going to go down to L.A. and blow up LAX. They nailed him and stopped an attack. So Bush was warned over and over and over again. Richard Clark says this, people were running around with their hair on fire. Warned over and over again that 9/11 was going to happen, and he did nothing. In fact, he stopped things from being done. So he wants to take credit for there not being attacks since then. A, should we say, let's give Lyndon Johnson credit for no attacks. Let's give John Kennedy credit for no attacks. Let's give Richard Nixon credit for no attacks. I suppose we should give Bill Clinton credit for no attacks, other than that Tim McVeigh thing. No big attacks. And actually, when the World Trade Center was bombed on Clinton's watch, we tracked down, we used good police techniques, tracked down the people responsible for it, and put them in prison, where they're sitting to this day. Where's Bin Laden? Oh, Bush, I don't care. I just thought last night's presentation was the most tragic, pathetic. I'm lacking words. And, of course, he didn't talk, as David Corn's blogging today over at Huffington Post, he didn't talk about the things that really are of consequence that happened on his watch, climate change, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Pakistan, Osama bin Laden, nuclear weapons, poverty, health insurance, foreclosures, housing, Guantanamo, national debt, budget deficit, trade deficit, Wall Street, financial deregulation, the Dow Jones crashing, retirement security going in the toilet, Social Security at risk, Medicaid not being improved, our energy situation. We're hostage to the world with regard to energy, or at least to OPEC. Immigration has not been dealt with. The automobile industry is in a crisis. The housing industry is in a crisis. Subprime credit crisis. Wages are in the tank. Jobs are going away. FEMA, of course, was destroyed. You know, it's, as David Corn says, what else is there to say? As Gary Trudeau pointed out in today's Doonesbury strip, there is a broad consensus that this man, George W. Bush, has not only been the worst president in the history of the United States, and a consensus that I am quite sure will endure throughout the long history of this country. Not only the worst president of the United States, but the most destructive. Not only to the United States, but to the cause of democracy, to the ideals on which this nation was founded. So, anyhow, my rant for the day. It being Anything Goes Friday, though, let's pick up your calls. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Bill in New York. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Tom, happy Friday to you and your wonderful audience from all of us here at fingersalutethebush.org.
Okay.
We've had great support from you guys and great support from your very knowledgeable audience, let's say that. A couple things. One is a comment, and then we'll end off with a question or two for your audience. The first is that you're talking about him keeping kept the United States safe from terrorism attacks. And we've taken a vote over here, and we're going to give him credit for that. We're going to give him credit for that because if it wasn't for him doing as much damage as he has done to this country, it's actually shamed the terrorists. They can't possibly do as much destruction as Bush has done himself. Could they have taken their entire powerful military and, you know, basically stall it out in the middle of a desert? How could they show, you know, the impotence of the country? How could they bring down our economy?
Thank you, Bill. Go back and read bin Laden's address to the United States in 2004 that was made public a week before the 2004 elections that some pundits said hurt John Kerry. And basically what Osama bin Laden said was absolutely true. He said, if we want to send America into a multi-million-dollar or a billion-dollar hysteria, all we have to do is have somebody raise a flag and say, I'm from Al-Qaeda in some obscure part of the world, and off Bush will go. He has done everything that Al-Qaeda wanted. He has done everything that bin Laden wanted. He got us bogged down in wars in parts of the world where bin Laden wanted us. George W. Bush gave Osama bin Laden a big wet kiss on the cheek. It was that simple. Chuck in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Chuck.
Hey.
You're on the air, Chuck.
Okay. Am I on the air?
You are, sir.
Okay. I heard that speech last night, and Bush says he safeguarded the economy. Well, if he was safeguarding the economy, why didn't he help Elliot Spitzer when Elliot Spitzer was trying to stop the predatory lending practices and predicting what was going to happen to the economy?
And it wasn't just Elliot Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer was leading the charge, and he wrote a brilliant op-ed for the Washington Post, as I recall, about it, which we've read a couple of times on this show over the last year or so. And he nailed it, you know, that the predatory lending practices should be illegal. You had a number of states, including New York State, that passed laws against it. And the Bush administration came in and evoked an obscure law from the 1860s saying that states could not interfere with banks that were doing predatory loans because there was some element of interstate commerce involved in the thing, and because the banks operated in more than one state. I mean, it was just nuts. You're absolutely right. And Elliot Spitzer was the guy who put out and thank you for the call. Elliot Spitzer was the guy who put out the warning, and he did so brilliantly. And, you know, there's a mini conspiracy industry around, you know, why Spitzer was brought down or why they decided to focus their attention on him. Obviously, he was in some ways his own worst enemy. But nonetheless, he was the guy who was sounding the alarm. I mean, pushing legislation along with a lot of other governors who were saying, wait a minute, we've got to stop this. And this was years ago. And had they been successful, there wouldn't have been, or it wouldn't have been anywhere near as bad, a housing crash. Of course, Bush doesn't want to talk about that. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11, AM 620 KPOJ, 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, this is Coach Bobby Ross.
And I'm Coach Gene Stallings, and we'd like to tell you why we're honored to be part of the East-West Shrine Game, football's finest hour.
This is America's premier college all-star game, but the Shrine Game is more than just a showcase for America's top college players. What makes it football's finest hour is the support it provides for Shriners Hospitals for Children.
Since 1925, the Shrine Game has raised millions of dollars and created awareness of the pediatric specialty care available at 22 Shriners Hospitals at no charge.
Being selected to play in the Shrine Game is a unique experience for players to showcase their talents while supporting an amazing mission of helping children with burns, orthopedic problems, spinal cord injuries, and more.
So please join Coach Ross and me in helping kids defy the odds. To learn more, visit ShrineGame.com or ShrinersHospitals.org.
A public service from Shriners Hospitals for Children.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ presents the People's Inaugural Ball Tuesday, January 20th at the Crystal Ballroom. A benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. Admission's free with a ticket and suggested donation of 2 cans of food. Don't miss this fun event featuring live entertainment from the band Commotion, a silent auction, a live DJ, and more. Log on to 620KPOJ.com, keyword ball, to find out how to join us for this 21 and over only event. Brought to you by Clear and AM 620 KPOJ. Portland Center Stage presents its production of Apollo, an epic multimedia examination of post-World War II America that explores the birth of the U.S. space program. It's on PCS's main stage January 13th through February 8th. Be sure to listen to The Morning Show with Carl and Christine all week long for your chance to pick up a pair of tickets to the show. For more information on how to buy tickets, showtimes, and more, visit PCS.org.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Who do you ping for? I ping for my mom, my friend Linda, and my cousin Rhonda. 1 in 3 women are diagnosed with cancer, so we all ping for someone. Now you can ping with us and support life-saving research at City of Hope. Find out more at whodoyoupingfor.com.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Taking back the mainstream media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Tom Hartman here with you. Just one other. I can't just let these things slide altogether. This George W. Bush last night.
The other system is based on the conviction that freedom is the universal gift of Almighty God.
Now, let me just pause him there and share with him the Declaration of Independence, because the founders didn't quite see it that way. When in the course of human events, this is the first sentence of the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's, and by its way, nature is capitalized, nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Nature's God, and John Adams scratched that out and said the Christian God, and Thomas Jefferson scratched it back out again and said, no, it's nature's God. It's got nothing to do with the Christian God or anybody else's God. This is the, these are the laws of nature. But George Bush didn't quite get it.
And that liberty and justice light the path to peace. This is the belief that gave birth to our nation.
No.
And in the long run, advancing this belief is the only practical way to protect our citizens.
Well, if you want a theocracy, which I guess he does. 866-303-2270. I'm sorry, I shouldn't sigh like that on here. David in Ketchum, Idaho. David, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I'm really short. I just want to ask you to speculate if you think that Bush is going to do a pardon docu-dump this afternoon in a couple hours, because Friday afternoon's his favorite time. And after that, I'm just going to say that we're all in Barack's community now, so let's organize.
There you go. Yeah, get organized and get out there. Absolutely. David, I think he's going to do it Monday. I think he's going to do it at the last minute, and when all the news and all the discussion is going to be about the inauguration and who's going to be at the ball and how the security is and a zillion people coming into Washington, D.C., I think Bush is going to do his pardon dump and everything the very last day. So, we'll see. But it's going to be, this guy has never passed up an opportunity to do the wrong thing and do it in a slimy fashion. So I don't see why anything is going to change. George in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening on WINS. Hey, George.
How are you doing today, Mr. Hartman?
I am very well, thank you, but I'll get better. How
well,
about you?
I'm doing better as of Tuesday at noon. But my
you
question
betcha.
Is why don't we hold our politicians accountable to the people of this country?
Well, hopefully we will.
But it's never been done. I mean, if we look back on history since Reagan, Clinton, Bush,
yes.
They've all turned against the people of this country. No
I think you can take that back to Jerry Ford. Jerry Ford.
Oh, yeah, you can?
Yes.
But all the trickle-down economics, the only thing that's done is trickle up. We've been trickled on.
You're right. I like to say it's produced a nation
no
of peons.
But there's no one, even Sanders. Why isn't there a politician standing on Capitol Hill going, look at what these people are doing to you? They don't do it.
George, there are a few. I mean, you've got Bernie Sanders
Where?
Saying that. You've got Dennis Kucinich saying that. You've got Russ Feingold saying that. There actually are a few good politicians out there, George. But I absolutely agree with you. They're few and far between, and we need them to get some courage and stand up and point out what's really going on. And God willing, we will see, or the goddess willing, or the nature's God willing, we'll see what happens after noon Tuesday, because there is so much potential here, and I'm telling you, it's not going to be realized if we don't start pushing. Drinking liberally groups, Progressive Democrats of America group, Democracy for America groups, local Democratic Party groups. For that matter, I would love to see Republicans of goodwill, people who have some belief and faith in the Republican Party and would like to see it go back to the ideals of Dwight Eisenhower, take back the Republican Party. I mean, let's bring some integrity back into the system. Jeremy in Los Angeles. Hey, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Jeremy, what's up?
Tom, yes. It was very interesting that Bush is claiming victory of no more terrorist attack after 9/11, especially since we had an anthrax attack about a month after 9/11 that shut down the Congress since the British burned it in 1814.
Right.
So that was a pretty big terrorist event. And so I think that this is a crucial piece of this, because national security drives people's subconscious like nothing else. The fear of death and terrorism is very powerful. And so this is where we really need to push on this new administration, because he keeps on parroting the same bin Laden is the biggest threat line. And there is not clear evidence that bin Laden is even still alive, let alone that these MP3s that get sent out at opportune moments are really coming from him.
Right.
And there's still no evidence put forth that he did 9/11. There's a lot more evidence that the people behind Bush did 9/11, as put forth by people like Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, that anyone can go and see, than that bin Laden, some guy halfway around the world that we don't know is alive and that was a CIA asset, did it. So this is where we really need to push on this administration, not push forth the boogeyman. The deep state behind this government is much more threatening to Americans' freedom and security than boogeyman.
Yeah, our shadow government, our shadow economy. Well said, Jeremy. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break here, pick up your phone calls on the other side as we pause to stimulate the economy, a fine thing we're doing. You can support our program by supporting our advertisers. Let them know that you're listening, and here comes your opportunity. 27 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 866-303-2270, tomhartman.com, airamerica.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Well, that was what the birds were saying yesterday when they got sucked into a couple of jet engines. So here's the question. Were those geese who flew in front of that jet put up to it by the pigeons? I'll just leave that question for you. Our conservative alert for the day. Representative Steve King, yeah, the crazy Republican from Iowa. He said that earlier, before the election, he had said that if Barack Obama was elected, that Al-Qaeda would be, quote, dancing in the streets because of his middle name, end quote. And in an interview yesterday with Politico, he said, well, he was wrong about the whole terrorist street dancing routine. But then he continued on and said that when Barack Obama raises his right hand and does, like, James Earl Carter, I, William Jefferson Clinton, I, Richard Milhouse Nixon, I, Lyndon Baines Johnson, I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, like every other president does when they take the oath of office and say their whole name, all three names, or in the case of George Herbert Walker Bush, it was four names, I, George Herbert Walker Bush. When he does that, and he says his middle name, I, Barack Hussein Obama, it will be, to quote Congressman King, bizarre. So, what can I say other than Congressman King, get a brain. Anything goes Friday here. Well, let's pick up your phone calls and thoughts on things. Ron in Essex, Vermont. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I want to talk about unions, and I think, like, the corporations have outstripped the management worker model. I think unions really have to start thinking bigger. In other words, you know, include, maybe you can even include staff people and middle management.
Well, they would like to. The problem is that legislation put forward and passed by Republicans under largely Republican administrations has redefined who's eligible for membership in a union. And it's not because the unions don't want those people in the unions. It's because of that legislation. In fact, there is one piece of legislation right now that is heading into Congress that would say that you can't get people out of the union by giving them management titles when, in fact, they're not management. So, yeah, you're right, Ron, but it has to happen at the legislative level, not at the union level. And let me say also that unions You know, there's a lot of people, particularly on the right, and Ron, I'm guessing that this is not you, but there are a lot of people on the right who say, well, you know, the time of unions is long gone, and we're not the 1890s anymore, and or the 1950s, and time for... There's a very simple premise to a union. A union is a democratic institution. It is elected into existence by people in the workplace. If the majority of the people in the workplace want it, it comes into being. Its rules, its bylaws, its constitution, its the way it functions are elected by a majority of its members. Any bargaining that it does on behalf of the members with the employer has to be approved by a majority of the members. Its officers and managers or whatever the various titles are within a union, they are all elected by the members. Unions are democratic institutions. They are the only democratic institutions to be found in the workplace. And for a country that prides itself on democracy and for all the rhetoric about democracy that comes out of politicians in Washington, D.C., particularly misguided Republicans, it is absolutely, to me, bizarre that they do everything they can to prevent unions from existing and to destroy unions when they do exist. Tim in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Tim, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I don't know if you got to watch the Daily Show yesterday, but there was a comedy sketch where basically one of the pundits, Republican pundits from CNN, basically said how they're going to rebrand the GOP is dunk it in chocolate and say it has no sugar.
What? I always watch the Daily Show a day late because it comes on after I've gone to bed because I get up well, early to do the morning show.
In their second segment, Samantha Bee did a thing. Watch it, and it's I mean, it's a comedy sketch, but it's very telling. I mean, the truth and humor, right?
Are you talking about the fact that the two leading candidates for the chairmanship of the GOP are Steele and what's his name from Ohio? They're both African Americans.
No. This was Samantha Bee asking, going to the GOP pundits and saying, okay, the GOP is not a very good brand right now. How are you going to resell this thing?
Right.
And she basically said, we're going to dip it in chocolate, and we're going to say it has no sugar.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And
okay.
That's how I'm going to do it. But the thing that I'm calling in about, and you'll probably appreciate this because you live on the water, but basically Obama. I read a report today or somewhere. It said Obama wasn't elected as a progressive, president. He is basically, you know, liberal or even right-leaning liberal. And what we have to do as progressives is, he is basically a rudderless super tanker. And what we have to do as progressives is get not behind him, and not beside him, but us little progressive tugboats have to get in front of Obama and pull him into port.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice metaphor. I would suggest, though, that he was elected as a progressive president. If you consider that the progressive positions are, you know, over 70% of Americans want a national single-payer health care system. Almost 80% of Americans think that everybody should be able to.
David Sirota doesn't think so.
Yeah, I don't want to get into splitting hairs with David, but the majority of Americans are where the progressive positions are, and I would submit to you that the majority of Americans who voted for Barack Obama are where the progressive positions are. And the question is, where is Barack Obama? What he was elected as, in other words, what was in the minds of people as they voted. I've been saying for a long, long time, he's our national Rorschach test. Those of us who voted for him have projected our best hopes into him. Those who voted against him projected their worst fears. But he has been, quite good, actually, at only being specific in some narrow range of areas, and even those are largely generalities. Healthcare, for example, a great example. And so I agree. We have, you know, one of our most important jobs right now is to, as David Sirota does point out, is to say to Barack Obama, and not just him, by the way, but to every member of Congress, which is in many ways actually even more important. Because legislation originates in the Congress, has to be passed by the Congress, and to every member of Congress, this is our agenda. These are the things, this is the country that we want to have. We want a country where anybody can go to college, regardless of their income. We want a country where anybody can go to a trade school and get a good job when they leave that trade school. We want a country where every child has a good school, a good public school and public education, without having to teach, and teachers don't teach to the test, and where teachers are as well respected as CEOs because they're actually handling something far more precious. They're handling our future. And we want a country where health care is available to everybody as a right of citizenship. When the Declaration of Independence talked about that these are rights, we hold these rights to be self-evident, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that when the right to life was defined in the Declaration of Independence, it meant the right to stay alive, the right to health care, that's an absolute right. That we do not believe in a country that is a militaristic bully, a bad neighbor around the world, 700 military bases around the world. Our military spending is greater than every other country in the world combined. That's not the America that the founders envisioned. It's certainly not. I guarantee you it's not the America the founders envisioned. And I would submit to you it's not the America that the majority of Americans down through the last 230 plus years have envisioned. So anyhow, let's... Marsh in Los Angeles, you want, Marcus says you want to disagree with me, so I put you at the front of the line, Mark. Marsh, what's up?
Hi, Tom. First-time caller, long-time listener. I've actually met you. We've discussed some things. You and I agreed that Obama was making the wrong move in Afghanistan, but that's not what I'm calling about.
Okay.
You talk about corporate greed often. I agree with you. Use the word excessive pay for executives, and then you use the word Obama in the same – I'm sorry, use the word dividends in the same breath. These are apples and oranges. Half the people in this country are in 401Ks, IRAs, et cetera, where they get dividends.
Right.
I started this many years ago when they started 401Ks and IRAs. And have been reinvesting those dividends. I'm now retired and live very well on those dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Many people in this country, seniors especially, live on dividends.
Right, and they've done it through programs like 401Ks where they're tax protected. My point is that, first of all, the history, Marsh, that we need to remember is that 401Ks replaced pensions. And we really need to go back to a pension system where you know how much money you're going to get, and you're going to get it until the day you die, rather than a 401k where you hope that you don't live too long and you outlive your own money.
And dividends are not a bad thing, Tom.
Well, okay. All righty. I'll give you that. But I do think that if we're going to say that we don't want to have pensions and we want Social Security to be so short-funded that people have to live off their 401Ks, that we'll build out, you know, we'll carve out some sort of exemption for the middle class in 401Ks. But for people like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, who make their living on dividends, no thanks. They should be taxed at the same rate as everybody else.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, this is Tom Matty. When I played for the Baltimore Colts, I can remember being hit so hard by Dick Butkus that today I still feel the pain. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine gave me a product he said was an anti-inflammatory and pain reliever used by Olympic athletes to reduce swelling from injuries. Because it has no known side effects, I tried it and was amazed. It really worked. My wife says I'm moving around so much better and my energy has increased and I'm breathing and sleeping so much better. I am totally taken back by it. I tell all my friends about it, except those guys, of course, that hit me so hard. If you have a knee, back, joint pain, or inflammation of any kind, Serrapeptase RX is worth trying. It's only $23.99 for a 2-month supply and guaranteed.
Visit MyAirAmericaRadio.com or call 1-888-825-9199 to try Serrapeptase today. Order online at MyAirAmericaRadio.com or call 1-888-825-9199.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Seems the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins. There's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-500-8257. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-500-8257. 1-800-500-8257.
Here he is, folks. Just when you thought he had left us for a gig in Alaska, he's back. It's that gale force of Prado himself, Old Man Winter. And this year he's piling it on with hits like Chain Me Up or Loose Me Forever. And classics like I Hit the Brakes, But I'm Sliding for You. That is, unless you're driving one of those styling new symmetrical all-wheel drive Subarus from Car Subaru. They're climbing all over winter like some kind of mountain goat, baby. And right now, you can get into a 2009 fully loaded Outback 98 starting at just $17,995. That's right, just $17,995. Daddy, you at Car Subaru. So unless you enjoy hits like Slip Sliding Away, you gotta get to Car Subaru Northwest with more Subarus than winter has snowflakes, mama. Car Subaru, off Highway 217 on Canyon Road in Beaverton, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Oh! Sale price includes $1,500 rebate and is based on 2009 Outback 98, stock number SO10139.
The International Bank of Business and Credit is ready to serve you. We'll take good care of your money. We're the bank you can trust.
You're lying. They're using your money for murder. Find out the truth. Go to StopTheInternational.com.
On February 13th, Columbia Pictures presents Clive Owen.
There has to be a way to bring down this bank.
Naomi Watts.
You ready for this?
The International. Rated R for some sequences of violence and language. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, thanks so much to Louise Hartman, to our executive producer, Sean Taylor, to Stephanie Whiteman, to Shelley Osterberger, Marcus Hillman, and Michael McDonald, all at Air America in New York, to Sue Nethercutt in the UK, and all the folks in our chat room from all over the world, literally, to Mike Toth, who does our audio archives on our website, to our affiliates, our sponsors, and to you for listening to our program. Thank you so much. You make it possible. Jim in Everett, Washington. Hey, Jim, you have something to share with us.
Yes, I think it's safe to talk. I drove down to the waterfront where the seagulls keep the pigeons away.
good on you.
You solicited yesterday for somebody to call in if they knew of a provision of the Constitution that George Bush hadn't violated.
Yes, any part of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments.
Yeah, the Third Amendment. I think that's the only one.
He has not quartered soldiers in anyone's home. Jim, you know, I think you win. Now, that's the good news. And in fact, I will send you a copy of, let's see here. This book I have is The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hutter Child by Tom Hartman. We will send you, if you would like.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, great. You won the prize for the day, and that's the good news. The bad news is that we have now notified George Bush that there's one of the 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights that he has not violated, and he still has until Monday. So we'll see. Jim, I'm going to put you on hold. Marcus will get your postal information, and we'll get that book off to you. Thank you very much. Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, on the line with us. Hey, Victoria.
Well, hey, Tom. Well, you know, the president has just departed the White House for the final time as president of the United States on his way to Camp David for a quiet weekend, but he is still sprinting to the finish. So now that you've tipped him off, maybe he can, in fact, take action on that Third Amendment.
He'll quickly find a soldier and quickly find some poor civilian to stick him in their home.
Exactly.
Oh, my. It's,
exactly.
If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funnier. If it wasn't tragic, you know, or vice versa, whatever. So what's happening in the world today, Victoria?
Well, it's a strange day because it is a quiet day, but I've got a bit of economic news for you, and then I've got some other news for you. The Fed Reserve is reporting this morning industrial production dropped 2% in December, twice the amount expected by economists. So that's very bad news.
This is U.S. industrial production.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Really
US
bad
industrial
news.
Industrial production. Yes, it's very bad news. We've also got news from outgoing Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson today has been defending the $700 billion financial rescue program. He's arguing that it's made significant progress towards stabilizing the financial market, saying it's been absolutely essential to financial stability and that financial stability is essential to everything that everyone wants to see happen economically. So he is defending it and defending his actions and his work.
I guess you would expect him to do nothing less.
You would expect him to do nothing less, and he's certainly doing that. Meantime, interestingly, the National Archives is waiting to get its collection of all of President Bush's papers and files on Inauguration Day. And they say the amount is expected to dwarf that of any other president, which is surprising to some, of course, who think that there are millions of missing emails. Right. But the amount is going to be 100 terabytes.
Whoa.
Right. Now, it will take archivists 5 years to review 1 terabyte of information.
So the Bush administration is going to drown them in data.
It's going to drown them in data. Meantime, yesterday, Judge John Facciola is saying that the Justice Department is still basically not complying with what it's supposed to be doing with regard to the millions of missing emails.
Oh, really?
Yes. He is saying that they are just simply misreading an earlier judicial order and not searching widely enough for the records. He says there's a profound social interest in the preservation of these records. And further, U.S. District Judge Colleen Koehler-Cotterly, she ordered the White House yesterday continue to preserve records related to its decision-making about the emails. So we had 2 judges yesterday on the White House to continue to get these emails. The difficulty is there's almost nobody left in the White House to do the work.
Wow.
Everybody's handing in their hard passes and leaving. So I don't know who's going to do this.
And taking their hard drives home with them?
No, you're checked when you leave.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's perhaps good news. I mean, is it conceivable, Victoria, that the Obama administration will be able to reconstruct what was done during the Bush administration? Is there that kind of continuity, or do they, like, reboot everything from zero?
I think they reboot everything from zero, but let me check on that, because I don't know exactly how that works.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one to find out.
Yes.
Meantime,
President-elect Barack Obama was in Ohio today visiting a factory, touting his economic stimulus package. This is the beginning of a few trips that he's going to be making to tout his economic stimulus package. It's not going to be a sort of barnstorming tour that he's going to be making, but he is very much going to be trying to sell it to the country. He knows that this is going to be costing an enormous amount of money. He's already going to be getting $350 billion. Now he wants over $800 billion in addition to that. So he's got to make an enormous case to the public, whose goodwill he certainly has. Unlike President Bush, there's a new poll out, a fascinating new poll, 75% saying they're glad that he's leaving.
Wow.
17% now believe that Bush united the country.
This is amazing when you consider that almost 30% of Americans believe that the United States government is in negotiations with flying saucers and people from other planets.
Is that right?
Yeah, seriously. So you know, if Bush is down below that, I mean, that's
astonishing.
Yeah, it really is.
That is astonishing.
So, and then one never knows. I mean, maybe the pigeons are negotiating with the White House. Victoria, thanks so much for the plethora of news that you're bringing to us these days. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
It's always great hearing your voice and great talking to you. I look forward to seeing you in Washington, D.C. next week. In fact, next week, I will be broadcasting from the Inauguration's Radio Row, along with Kathleen Kennedy Townsend on Monday, Roger Hickey of the Campaign for America's Future, Jim Zogby of the Arab American Institute. Ron Reagan is going to join me on Tuesday. It's going to be a great week from Washington, D.C. next week. So don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you on Monday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.